Okay. Hour three on Friday night. Wow. Another one gone. Okay. Erica is sitting by comfortably somewhere and listening in and is going to make her usual marvelous contributions. We're going to cover a number of things tonight that we haven't spent too much time on, but we find ourselves in an interesting position. When certain terms and terminology used by, we'll just call them the deniers, or otherwise uninformed, are pulled up out of the trash can and kind of given a new coat of paint and relaunched, like graphene oxide and other things, we really have to take note of this and remind people that this is a game. We're being played constantly. And many of the people we, the sheep, look up to, supposedly, are working for the other side. It's called created opposition. We've said it a million times. It's grateful that we are to see our materials being repeated by some of these people. We think that we've kind of forced them into having to do so. You people have probably written to some of them. We don't know. But all the support we get goes in, hopefully, the right direction of bringing the truth forward. And we've seen it in other programs and other videos time and time again. So that's good. We know we're doing the right thing when they have to come around and start addressing it. And we're not claiming proprietary rights over any of it or boasting. We're just telling you the truth. There is always room on the stage for truth and reality. And that's what we're trying to bring you. And if we put it in the light and the spotlight in the middle of that stage, a lot of these people, they have to at least make a half-assed effort to ignore their own critics and put it out there. Even if they don't use the same terminology or go as far as they should. Okay, Mike Adams, for example, recently did a program in which he talked about these new terrible blood clots and everything, and he did everything, but you never mentioned the word, never heard it, amyloid, amyloid plaques, amyloid clots. You didn't hear anything about amyloidosis, nothing. So they go so far, and then they turn off the tap. It's just the way it's done. It's mass mind control. That's what it is. Hello, young lady.
Good evening. Good to be here,
is it?
Jeff.
I'll take your word for that. All right.
The moon's up.
Yeah.
It's a bright one tonight.
It does that. Okay, so what are some of the... We've talked about this earlier, and some of these expressions that are coming back around again now, that we expect to come around time and time again, they run the same thing. It's like a hamster wheel, the same topics, the same cliched names of things, which really don't point to the truth. They just point to interesting directions that may be associated with the truth, but that's as far as we're going to get with many of these people. So
I think some of these narratives, having observed this now for a year and a half, is for entertainment purposes. I mean, there's
like
such
that.
A sensationalist
description.
Flavor to these things. It's amusing.
It's tabloid stuff, is what it is.
It is. It is.
And they have no shortage of material to work with. They can twist anything any way they want. We're going tonight talk about a couple things. Now, do you want to mention La Quinta Columna first, or do we want to mention that at all this time?
As far as I know, they're still pushing the narrative that everything that's happening to the vax people is related to the graphene that's in the injections. And we considered that a year ago or so when they first came out with that. I understand what they're saying. It makes sense in theory, but I don't see any hard and fast proof that that's what's happening. What makes the most sense is we are finding this toxic spike protein at the root of many of these problems that people are having, both in the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. We can find it. On the other hand, I just don't see the proof that graphene. I mean, it's
Graphene is simply not the big villain. It's not number one.
No, it's not. I mean, I'm not advocating injecting it. It can be toxic to the blood. You know, it's a nanoparticle, so it can do damage just by virtue of being in the nanoscale. You inject anything nano, and you have the ability to interrupt vital processes that are happening throughout the body on a cellular or molecular level. Mm-hmm. But if it's in the vaccines, the reason they would be putting it in there would be as an adjuvant, meaning to provoke a response from the immune system, and or to deliver the genetic material into the cell and get it translated into a protein.
Right. A spike protein.
That's known. And these other metals that are turning up in these vials in the nanoscale, those have been found in vaccines for a number of years now. Mm-hmm. And we had that paper that was published in 2016 by Antonietta Gatti, the Italian researcher, and she, her team, analyzed the contents of, I believe it was 44 different vaccines, and they were finding these nanoparticulates in all of them. And there was no explanation of why they were there. Were they there deliberately, or were they there accidentally as contaminants? I mean, we are poisoned with nanomaterials now. I mean, there's no regulation on the production or the release or the disposal of this type of material, so it's permeating the environment. So it could be turning up in these things as a byproduct of the manufacturing process, or maybe it is there intentionally. But we've never seen the problems like we're seeing now after these injections, even though those nanoparticulates have been in these vaccines for 5-10 years.
Right. No, everything's compounding. La Quinta Columna, I want to thank them for doing a tribute on David Dees and his art, even though they've kind of misconstrued some of the meaning in the art, but that wasn't the point. The point is that they recognized the brilliance of David, and they did put up a number of pieces of his art. You can see that on the left column at the homepage. Scroll down to David, and you'll see the, I think it's the first story there, La Quinta Columna honors David Dees and his art. And they were just knocked over by what they were seeing in there. Now, the current take, and I think, wasn't La Quinta Columna at one point pretty strong on graphene oxide?
And they still are.
And they're but adding to it now, yes, and I'm going to make that point, but put that down first. They're adding to it now, and they're saying there is no transmission or shedding from vaccinated persons.
Yeah, they backed off on that. Yeah.
It's called irradiation, and they're claiming it's coming from smartphones. And I think you can come up with the two terms that are glued to a smartphone. It's called 5G. And these people are all shown throwing off EMR, electromagnetic radiation. And that's true, they are. But is that what's causing all the problems? And what does that have to do with making a statement that there is no transmission from vaccinated persons? That is a puzzler to me, and I don't understand why they're saying that when science is pointing in the opposite direction, that there is shedding and there is transmission. And there always has been transmission of disease states, even if it's synthetic diseases like we're getting with the spike protein. These are not natural. These are contrived. They're created. But they're still sheddable and transmittable. It's transmissible is probably correct. But anyhow, here's your update on La Quinta Columna. We wish them well, as always, and hope they come back around and follow the correct trail, we think, which is not tied up with 5G.
That's just it. I mean, we're having these blood clotting issues, neurological issues, bleeding issues in people that are not exposed.
Issues in the brain. Oh, yeah. Right.
They're not exposed to 5G. If you're going to make that theory, then it has to be true across the board, you know, and it's not. It's not. Now we have the studies that were done, I think Magda Havas, who's up in Ontario, is a very prominent researcher in the field of these EMFs and 5G. She published a paper last year indicating that in areas where there was 5G that had been activated, cases of so-called COVID were in fact worse. But there were also cases in places where there was no 5G or even 4G in some cases. And I think Beverly Rubick and Robert Brown also did a study showing the same thing. It's a contributor, but it is not the sole cause of these coagulopathies and vascular disorders and neurological disorders.
Absolutely. Now, here's a kind of a funny one. I guess you got to laugh at this because here he is again. And I'm not knocking him in any way, but it's funny how these people make the circuit. They go round and around. And his name is, he's probably one of the most, if not the most famous mortician in the world, or one of them, Richard Hirschman. And they've got RAIR News has this shocking headline, "Embalmer Sounds Alarm, Massive Increase in Strange Blood Clots and Cancer. It's not normal. It's drastic," he says. Now, I would ask all of you longtime listeners, and again, please, we're not boasting here. We're just saying it's factual. This is old news. We brought this out well over a year ago, that these clots were odd. They weren't blood. And when you wash them off, they're white. And it turns out that they're made of proteins, misfolded proteins, which make these little fibrils, and they agglutinate into larger masses, and they eventually will fill up a vein or an artery or even an aorta from side to side with that mass. It keeps growing, and it's all spike protein generated. But just for fun, Hirschman is talking about this as if it's new, and he doesn't understand it. And let me just read a little of this. He knows exactly what's going on. In an exclusive interview with RAIR Foundation USA, an Alabama-based embalmer and licensed funeral director revealed a massive increase in strange blood clots found in the bodies that he is now embalming. Richard Hirschman, who has been an embalmer since 2001, has noticed, quote, "a change of condition of bodies since the rollout of mRNA vaccines." Now, am I safe to say that at least 6 to 8 months ago, Hirschman was saying the same thing, pointing to these clots and saying they're different? We knew this. This is old news. He says these changes include the huge increase in people with blood clots, the strange nature of these blood clots, well, they're not blood clots, and patients who have died of cancer without any of the telltale signs, such as hair loss and emaciation. Unfortunately, there is a new normal now, he says. Hirschman has embalmed thousands of bodies during the course of his career. Last year, he handled over 600 personally, so he knows the signs to look for, and he knows what blood looks like. "In all my years," he says, "of embalming, we would run across clots from time to time, but since May of last year, something about the blood has changed. It's not normal. It's drastic." Yes, indeed. Anyhow, he's talking about this, and I guess he feels that when he does a new interview, he's kind of got to pretend like it's the first time, but it's not. We were pointing this out a long time ago, that these were not made of blood, these clots. Not that blood clots don't actually form. They do. But these are amyloid clots. They're like rubber. And Erica has a little saying, you're being rubberized from the inside out. And that's true. It starts with microclots in the capillaries, and it works its way up from there, all the way to even the aorta coming out of the heart. We had that. We had that video. A white fibrous clot pulled out. Go ahead. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, that process of having proteins misfold and aggregate can happen virtually anywhere in the body. There are many proteins that the body manufactures that are susceptible to that type of, disease state. So the ones in the blood are pretty bad, but the same can be happening in the brain. The same can be happening in the gastrointestinal tract. The same can be happening in the kidneys. So...
anywhere. They're not exclusive to the circulatory system, okay? That's
right.
That's the point. The misfolding of proteins and the accumulation of these little proteinaceous groupings become masses, and they can kill major organs easily. And if they're in your brain, you've got real problems. So that's part of it. The other part of it, he does mention cancers, and cancers are exploding. This is really getting to be a crisis, which is being largely ignored by all the media. Here we've got, you want to play Ryan Cole?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We have Ryan Cole, who has come back kind of to be like Ryan. He got a little strange there for a while, but now he's back and he's doing great work and speaking as Ryan Cole used to speak, straight away and right to the point. So let's see what we can get here. Okay, here it is. This is Dr. Ryan Cole.
The spike protein is a toxin. So it's not, doesn't matter.
Hey, you want, let me play that again for you.
The spike protein is a toxin.
Yes, it is.
So it's not, doesn't matter whether it's J&J, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer. They all make your body make a spike protein. That spike protein binds to a tumor suppressor gene family, P53. It also binds to the breast cancer gene, BRCA, and the ovarian cancer gene, BRCA. We know that that spike protein can induce cancer pathways, period. It's happening. Cancers are on the increase across the board, lymphomas, leukemias, blood cancers, because that spike goes to the bone marrow. The lipid nanoparticle carries the mRNA to your dividing stem cells. Because it doesn't stay in the arm. It can go into any cell in your body, and it turns that cell into a spike factory. It inhibits the ability for your DNA to repair itself. It binds to our mitochondria, destroys the energy of our brain cells, destroys the energy of our liver cells, destroys the energy of any cell it gets into. Your own immune system attacks those cells. So a lot of people have arthritic pain, muscle pain. It's because those cells are being attacked by your own immune system because they're expressing this foreign spike protein. That spike protein causes mechanisms of cancer in many people. And I've been seeing that in the lab. I've been having it confirmed by oncologists, radiologists, radiation oncologists, pathologists all around the world as I travel. It is happening. It's on the uptick. Our military database showed it until our Department of Defense illegally froze that database and hit the data. This is a crime against humanity. We're using a dangerous product on humanity that is harming the human cells, that is harming the human body, that is harming our hormones, that is harming our reproductive organs, that is harming any organ where that protein lands, period.
Period, end of little 1 minute and 51 second invaluable video. All true, 100% true. This is a bad thing. And if you are being shed upon with spike proteins, which is almost the very definition of shedding now in transmission, the potential is you could, even if you're not shot up, end up with some of these problems. We don't know yet. We're watching this very carefully and urging all of you to be extremely commonsensical in your way of addressing how to keep yourself safe. I keep a little pair of gloves in my car now. If I go into the market or the store, I not only mask up, I wear a little pair of gloves. No big deal. No one cares. So think about
that's
these
smart.
Things.
It's smart. Because obviously this is also being transmitted through touch and that seems to be a very effective method of getting it to transfer. But it is alarming. Some of the shedding stories are indicating that this immune suppression that the vaxxed are experiencing is also being experienced by the unvaxxed if they spend enough time around these people.
We think there's a threshold, and if you're working in an office with a lot of vaxxed people Monday through Friday, and you want to live a relatively long, normal, healthy life, you might want to think about another line of work or even no line of work. This is not a good, healthy environment for you. And to turn it around, we could say for the vaxxed, having the unvaxxed in the same environment is not good for them either because most of them have AIDS. They have a repressed, depressed immunological system, which is wide open to almost anything that a vaxxed person would normally not encounter. But the unvaxxed will see them because they're still normal. They'll carry things around.
Yeah, that's one of many issues that they're having or going to have. You know, when you understand the full scope of the damage that this protein does, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, elaborate on that a little bit. This is important. This is not, okay, let's say you got poisoned with one of Erica's favorite analogies, ricin. All right, we know what ricin is. We know it's going to kill you. It's a one technique toxin, basically. And yet we have now the spike protein, which has, go ahead, tell us more about this. This is, we talk about this, you and I, but it's important for people to know that this thing is so sophisticated and diverse. It's shocking.
Well, because it's a metabolic poison. In other words, it can interfere with multiple pathways in your body that regulate your physiology from minute to minute, second to second. This thing masquerades like one of your own. One of the proteins it mimics is hepcidin. Hepcidin regulates the amount of iron in your body, where it is, where it goes. So that's one way it dysregulates your ability to manage iron. And when you can't manage iron, all kinds of bad things happen. You won't have oxygen where you need it. You'll have too much where you don't need it. So you suffer from oxidative stress. There's more than one protein that it mimics is this kisspeptin, which is critical for regulation of endocrine hormones, reproductive hormones. So if that's floating around and your body mistakes it for its own kisspeptin, many things are going to go awry. Your balance of hormones is going to go awry. There were other ones, too. It was a MAO inhibitor, M-A-O-I.
Mm-hmm.
So your levels of dopamine and serotonin will be dysregulated, so you'll have mood issues. So that's just one way the spike protein interferes with your basic physiology. And now we find out that it can interfere with DNA repair. So these normal breaks that you have in your DNA every single day can't be repaired. So that's one pathway to cancer. Let's see. There's some indication that it also activates, well, latent viruses, herpes viruses, which is probably why we're seeing this surge in shingles outbreaks, both in the vaxxed and the unvaxxed now.
And
it can
the push
also
for
activate
the vaccine. Take that herpes vaccine.
Yes.
Get that vaccine.
Yes. The shingles vaccine, Shingrix.
Right.
There's also, we don't hear too much about this, though. The spike is able to activate our own retroviruses in our DNA, which are normally silent. So what happens when you activate the human endogenous retroviruses is you get things like cancer, because one of the proteins is involved in fusion, and it's also implicated in neurological diseases, multiple sclerosis and schizophrenia.
Oh, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. Are all tied into this whole realm of disasters that are caused by the spike protein.
Well, that's another pathway. So that's, if your proteins begin misfolding because the spike is there, then you can get another set of problems. Neurological, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, ALS.
CJD, this is a real bad one. CJD is 100% fatal. There's no treatment for it. It's mad cow disease, okay? So if you get shot up, the spike protein loves neurology, and it loves to be in the human brain, and all it has to do is start the cascade of protein misfolding, and it runs into a prion protein especially, and misfolds that one. You've got real big problems. that are going to show up. 3 months, 6 months, 2 weeks? You never know. There seem to be all kinds of different time fuses on these things.
Well, any protein misfolding disease is problematic because there's virtually no way to stop it. You can try to hold it off.
No.
But there's very little in the way of treatment for these things.
What could you do besides kill off all your proteins? You can't stop them. Because once the spike triggers a normal protein in your body to begin to misfold and malfunction, it will go on in turn without the spike and cause any proteins, virtually, that it runs into to misfold as well. It's called a cascade. Okay, think about it.
Right, so all
like
you need,
a, yeah.
All you need is the seed, and the seed, in this case, is the spike to begin that process. Now, you do have mechanisms. I mean, this sort of thing does happen in the course of normal metabolism. You do get misfolded proteins, but usually they're at a level where you can manage them. You know, the body has ways of recognizing and checking the proper folding of proteins, and the ones that are not folded properly get eliminated. Well, having a spike protein present will overwhelm that ability of the body to deal with misfolded proteins, and so you get more than you can deal with, and they build up and cause disease. And once they form, there really isn't much to stop the process from continuing. That's why it's so devastating.
The spike protein, if it gets in your brain and starts protein misfolding, you get put on your plate right away, the potential of mad cow, CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, MS, Huntington's disease, and other psychiatric disorders and more. So this is a catastrophic issue. And that's why we constantly try to tell people, please consider transmission and shedding to be a critical dangers out there now. We think that this was planned from the beginning, that's why they announced they were going to shoot for 60 to 70, 80%. And I think it ended up at 80, but it started a little low, not to scare people. So 80%, and that leaves 20% unvaxxed. Well, if there's active shedding going on, and there is, and we've read so many stories to you about this issue, that's how they plan to clean up the rest of the 20%. By shedding.
Yeah.
Not a joke. Here's another. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to talk about Jessica, but let's finish your thought first.
Well, I would just say that there's ample evidence now for this shedding. There have been so many people who have experienced a shedding sickness, some pretty severe.
Within minutes,
and
some
I think
of them.
Yeah. One of the things that we haven't talked about in shedding sickness is, I mean, we are assuming it's the spike protein. It has that sort of a signature. But some people really, really struggle with it for weeks. And I think in these cases, we may actually be dealing with an actual virus, something that's replicating, not just the spike protein where you get it and, you know, you're down for a couple of days and your body deals with it. But if you have something that's actually taking over your cells and replicating, particularly if it's synthetic, that may be happening. I don't know if they're using replicons in these vaccines for their RNA.
What are replicons?
Well, replicon is a piece of RNA that's capable of copying itself. I mean, it would mimic an infection with a virus. So if they're using self-amplifying or self-replicating RNA, that's a viable infection with synthetic biology. And I would think that is capable of being transmitted to unvaxxed. Same with the adenovirus. We talked about that. That it's not supposed to replicate. It's supposed to go in and convince the cells to produce the spike protein, and then that's it. It's not supposed to be able to keep copying itself and perpetuating. But last year there was someone that was looking at the Sputnik, which is also based on a adenovirus vector. They said the Russians hadn't taken out the helper viruses. In other words, they hadn't cleaned it up so that the only thing that was left in the vials was a replication-deficient adenovirus. It was contaminated with, you know, full-fledged viruses. So even if you have a replication-incompetent virus, if that one finds either in the test tube or the vial or in the body a similar virus that has the machinery it needs to replicate, it will start replicating. So I suspect some of these shedding sicknesses are possibly an adenoviral infection that is producing a spike protein.
Wow. Not good. Not good. Adenovirus COVID injections now, J&J has kind of laid back, but there's still some around, I guess. And I guess over in England, what are they using there? J&J?
Well, they were. It was AstraZeneca, but I haven't heard that they're using those for boosters. I think they're down to Pfizer or Moderna.
I think so.
Part of the problem with the adenovirus, using that as a vector in a so-called vaccine, is that people tend to build immunity to it pretty quickly. I mean, we're very capable of fending off adenoviral infections. There's so many of them, and we get exposed when we're very young, so a lot of us already have some immunity to them. So using them as a vaccine or a protein expression vector isn't always successful because the immune system fights it off before the transfection can happen.
When most people hear about
think about the proteins that has a mind of its own. Okay, that's our next video. And just to wrap that up, it's very important to understand that we are in a new reality. And if people look relatively normal and act relatively normal, and they've gotten 2, 3, 4, 5, and even 6 shots, they're not relatively normal anymore.
No.
How quickly will these shots take a terrible toll on them? I don't know. Months? Weeks? A year? It may depend on the person. But these new bivalent vaccines, they're already giving them out? Or are they coming out?
I think they've been out since the day, Tuesday after Labor Day, so almost 2 weeks now. They're out.
Now, these aren't the boosters I'm talking about.
Yes, these are the boosters.
Okay, so they are the boosters. Now, the boosters are supposed to be double the strength, so you get double your money's worth. And can you imagine, though, seriously, if someone's gotten, let's say, 2 boosters, that would be, 1, 2, 3, 4 shots, and they go in for their 5th, and all of a sudden they get a double whammy of whatever is in there. And we don't know because the pharmaceuticals no longer have to go through formal trials to release anything on the public. They can confer EUA on themselves at any time. Think about it. This is really has nothing to do with a normal human intelligent public health policy. Nothing.
Right.
This is a biological weapon designed to do one thing. It's not a test. It's not a prototype. It's a deployed weapon.
It is. I don't know if it isn't obvious by now. It's incredible.
Well, it's unfortunately, it isn't obvious to a lot of people. They want to come at things from a different angle because it sounds unique to them. And, this is the truth. And I heard a video and I saw it and I they know. And people are so quick to jump onto something that really has little or no science behind it. And these things that are being pushed by the group that we call them no virus people or viral deniers are especially risky because there are viruses all the time.
I think they're serving a purpose, but go ahead.
Yeah. Here's Dr. Jessica Rose talking about prion disease in the brain, that's CJD, exploding now. There are apparently cases all over the place, and the bioweapon injections are the cause. There's no cure. It's 100% fatal. Now, she's an Israeli doctor. I don't know if she's an MD or a... No, she's a PhD. Okay, so she's a scientist, not a doctor. All right, here we go. This is that video that just started a moment ago. This is Dr. Jessica Rose. All right, now you're going to start for me or not? Oh, by the way, Steve Kirsch's, this is supposedly Steve Kirsch's girlfriend, yes?
Isn't that that's what I heard, yeah.
All right, here we go.
When most people hear about the prions, they think about the proteins that fold abnormally in the brain and cause long-term neurological diseases such as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. Does it concern you that it can happen in the vaccinated people?
Yeah, because there are prion-like properties in the spike protein, and which can induce misfolding in other proteins. For those of you who don't know, prions are not something you want to mess with. The fatality rate is 100%. There's no cure. There's no solution. Misfolded proteins that otherwise have essential functions, especially like neurological, that can only lead to a bad prognosis. So if you have a situation where you introduce one of these to a biological entity, and that protein has the ability to inflict its protein misfolding ability on other proteins in that entity, then you have a serious problem.
Now, just real quickly again, the spike protein will cause any normal protein in your body to misfold. That protein can also cause other normal proteins in your body to misfold. I'm repeating myself, but you need to understand this. It doesn't have to be inaugurated by the spike in every case. Once a spike has started an avalanche or a cascade, look out. Look out. Okay, back to Dr. Rose here.
In VAERS right now, which is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is the data that I've been looking at, when you consider the underreporting factor in VAERS, it's 49 cases of Creutzfeldt-Jakob in VAERS. When you take into account the underreporting factor, which means you have to multiply that count by something, a factor of something, we get to a number that's way above the background rate, the normal background rate for 1 year in America, for example. So that's very, very, very concerning. This is not what we've ever seen before in the context of all vaccines combined. The purpose of VAERS is to detect safety signals and to do causality assessments on any detected safety signal that might be concerning for public health. They would be looking at this. They wouldn't just be looking at myocarditis because they have to, because it's so clearly a problem, and then sweeping it under the carpet and calling it mild and transient. No, they would be looking at the prion diseases, the Creutzfeldt-Jakob cases specifically. They would be looking at the neurological damages that are being done in just staggering numbers. I mean, it's one of the biggest clusters of data in VAERS right now.
Okay. The point is, and it's rather legendary by this point, which she didn't mention, but VAERS is woefully undercounting, not just a little bit. We're talking about multiplying by 99 to get a reasonable number of whatever VAERS is reporting in terms of collecting data and releasing it to the media or to the public. 99 uncounted cases for every one that VAERS receives. Not good. Not encouraging. So, okay, you don't want to get these things in your brain. You don't want to get them in your body. You want to protect yourself. We recommend wearing a mask, and you can laugh, those of you who want to laugh, all you want. It will give you a small measure of protection. We also recommend wearing the little personal unit around your neck, which is available on the website. They're $130 or something, which throw out positive and negative ions, and they immediately are attracted to and cling to pathogens. And they make these pathogens heavy and they start to fall to the ground away from you. So you're not breathing them. In other words, they become a heavy, not normal pathogen. And it's a smart device. And then take your supplements. And you all know what the supplements are by now. It's no need to go through that again. Okay, anything to add to Jessica Rose there?
No. You know, the social media is verifying everything she said, even if VAERS is underreported.
Terribly so. Okay, what do you have for us tonight here?
Well, we have, let's see.
A 22-year-old? Yeah,
we could do that. This is post-vax, some tragic injuries to show just how altered some people's lives are now. And you can consider how many people out there right now, if they haven't died from these things, what they're struggling with. Okay.
You want me to start? You want to start?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can start.
All right. This is the 22-year-old. This is the, hey, guys, I'm sorry for my frequent posting. Mm-hmm. I'm just at the beginning of this journey and struggling to find hope and answers. As many of you know, I had 2 different ER visits yesterday for a total of 16 hours in the hospital. No conclusive test results. No MRI. However, this morning I called back and arranged a cardiologist appointment for this Monday. This is good news and hopefully a step toward my healing. Now, this is myocarditis and pericarditis. This is the group after being vaxxed. Anyone who doesn't know me, I'm 22 years old. A little over a month ago, I was very active, a healthy guy. I was in school studying to be a music teacher. Only 2 semesters left. I loved going to the gym every day, hiking, playing music, and I worked 40 hours a week at a restaurant so I could have a nice home and save money to travel and see some friends and football games. Just earlier this year, I hiked on the Grand Canyon. I got to visit my best friend in New York and see Niagara Falls. I went to the Kansas City Chiefs game, a historic divisional ground game, and had the time of my life. Pictured below, I'll share some of those things. Then I got my booster in August. Now, we don't know if he got the new booster or not. We think it's earlier in August, so it may have been the earlier version of the booster. Remember,
yeah.
It's doubled in strength now, okay? So he got his booster in August. 3 days later, I wake up in the middle of the night with severe chest pain, but I brush it off and try to go back to sleep. A few days later, I'm short of breath constantly, especially when I am doing stairs or chores. This never went away, and as a result, I had to quit my job, and I canceled all of my plans for the rest of the year. Then last week, I started having chest pain again and bad GI problems. I can't keep food down. I'm throwing up, always nauseous. I just feel like I'm breaking down. So I go to the ER 3 times with no luck. I'm just stuck with this. Luckily, I see a cardiologist soon. But after reading some of your guys' posts, I'm concerned about healing long term. I'm starting to lose hope. It's only been 32 days, and I've lost my job. I'm very depressed. I've lost my health. I've lost friends. I've dropped out of school. I'm rolling in medical debt. I'm quickly going broke. And most importantly, I'm starting to lose relationships with my family. They think it's all in my head, that I am delusional. How can my life just flip completely upside down in a month? I need hope. I need answers. And I know you all do too. I'm sorry we're all going through this together. Okay, that's the first one. There's several more after this, so why don't you go ahead with number 2. This poor kid, 22, life destroyed with a booster. Destroyed. And we can't point to people recovering from these things. We just can't. They seem to be permanently stricken, and that's it.
The pattern I'm seeing is that these groups are not becoming fewer. They're growing. And we're seeing people who are, you know, they did okay with one or two shots, and then they get a booster, and like this young man, everything changes. So he continues, he's having a rough time of it. Guys, I'm having a really bad mental breakdown. I want to go in my car and just drive away. I'm so unstable right now, and I don't know what to do. I've been reading patient testimonials today about myocarditis patients who had the same symptoms as me, same tests, same ER experiences, and family members found them dead after they had slept. I cannot have my sisters find me like this. I feel like my experience has been different from everyone else here. I had chest pain night one, shortness of breath for weeks, but I was still able to manage living life. But this past week, it's gotten worse. I can't keep food down. I'm vomiting. I'm so weak and unwell. I've literally just been in bed all day. I can't go back to the ER because there's nothing else they can do. I'm so scared I can't die like this right now. I'm deteriorating because, unlike all of you, I cannot get an MRI or get colchicine. I feel like even if I do get colchicine, it'll be too late. I've never felt this unwell. I feel like I need to contact family members, but I don't want to scare them. I'm uncontrollably crying all week. I cannot die from this.
Wow. Go ahead.
Okay, he continues again, several hours later. What dose of colchicine do you guys take? I'm currently contacting online doctors to hopefully prescribe it to me. I felt fine this morning, actually, after my long day at the ER yesterday, but as the day progressed, the symptoms came back bad, and now I feel doomed again. I cannot go back to the ER, so I'm exploring other options to save my life. It's weird how my symptoms can just disappear for a while, but they always come back. It's like the inflammation just leaves and comes back, especially after I eat. I notice symptoms are real bad.
Wow.
And last update, update on my request for an MRI. So I went to a second ER tonight. Second time's a charm, right? I waited 8 hours to be seen, and I begged to see a cardiologist. All I got was another nurse who said I had anxiety. She said my chest pain is probably acid reflux. So, no MRI and no colchicine. I'm on my way home to deteriorate. I spent over $6,000 today and begged just to get an MRI, and they couldn't. WTF are these doctors thinking? I've studied way less medical literature than them, yet I know exactly what's wrong. I have no other options. I'm in pain. I cannot breathe. I can't keep food down. I'm constantly nauseous. Is this it?
All of you out there who are experiencing similar myo or perio issues, you're not alone. So if nothing else, this poor young man is suffering as you are. And I don't know what his future will be like. No one knows. And you understand the medical industry now? They don't care.
And this is criminal.
They don't care.
It's criminal to do this to somebody and then, you know, leave them high and dry.
He dropped $6,000. $6,000. All right, here's another one. Please help. Can someone give proof that it is possible to have myo and peri even though tests are normal from your cardiologist? Or can I borrow and buy medicine from somebody? I feel like I'm dying. I can't move anymore. I'm so dizzy and weak. My chest is hurting. I can just lay in bed with a feeling that the body disappears. It is unbearable, especially because no doctor will give me a chance to survive or give me medicine or colchicine. I've had the same symptoms like you, plus 4 millimeters of pericardial fluid, I guess removed, huh? Drained?
They could probably see that on an MRI, maybe.
Mm. which doctors say is normal. No, this is not normal. Please help. This is from Matilda, age 24. So these people have severe catastrophic heart issues brought on within weeks of a booster. And people are still getting boosters, Erica. They're still getting boosters.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand. And this kid must not have found this group until after he had gotten the booster and gotten grievously wounded by it. I don't know.
Yeah, he probably was required to get a booster to go back to school this fall.
See, that's criminal genocide of our young people, supposedly our future, mm-hmm. our college-educated future of the next 2-3 decades.
They're slaughtering them.
They are, perfect word. It's exactly what it is. Well, we have a lot more to read for you, but it's Friday and we're out of time. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for caring. Hope the information was helpful. And you must realize by now that if you go to the ER, chances are, especially in a big city ER, you're not going to get to see a cardiologist unless you're real lucky. And if you get 5 minutes with one, I'd be shocked. If you can even get an MRI, I would be shocked. Mm-hmm. They don't want to deal with these people. It's just anxiety. Go home. Don't worry. I'd say they're goddamn liars. I think they know exactly what's going on because they see this every damn day.
You got it. Yep.
So hospital is probably about the last place you want to go. And I'm sorry to say that, but we have a reflex that is drummed into us from when we're little. Sick, emergency, doctor. No, it's not going to help. We're not telling you not to go. We're just telling you what to expect if you go. And what to expect is not pleasant.
These ERs are just inundated now. You'll be waiting a while to be seen, if you're seen at all.
How long does it take to perform an MRI? Do you know?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I've never had an MRI, so.
No, I haven't either. Well, let's figure an hour a patient, right? You got to get them prepped. You got to get them this and that. Don't they have to take an injection or something?
Sometimes, yeah.